Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Legal scholar, author, and analyst Jeffrey Toobin will be the next guest of the New Jersey Speaker Series on Thursday, November 2nd. Jeffrey is on our news line. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Hi, Steve.
Now, you've written books about the Supreme Court. You've written extensively about the High Court. So I'd like to start there. The court is back at full strength this term. How would you compare or contrast the Supreme Court with Justice Neil Gorsuch versus the court with the late Justice Antonin Scalia?
Well, I think the court will be very similar for the time being, where the conservatives have a slight advantage in most cases, but with Anthony Kennedy as the absolute swing vote controlling the outcome of case after case, as he did when Justice Scalia was on the bench. You know, we are on the verge, perhaps, of a major turning point, but we haven't come to it yet.
Well, we've heard rumbles that Justice Kennedy may be thinking about retiring. Do you see that happening anytime soon?
Well, my rule on Supreme Court resignations is those who know don't tell and those who tell don't know. So I don't want to pretend that I have any inside information. But, you know, Anthony Kennedy is 81 years old, and 81 is not the new anything. People who are 81 tend to retire. I do think he will be keeping a close eye on the Trump administration, and I don't think he is anxious to leave the court, but I do think he recognizes that the time is approaching. And unlike, say, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was even older, who would never voluntarily surrender her seat to a Republican, I think Anthony Kennedy would at least consider leaving while Trump is president.
Do justices keep an eye on who is president of the United States, knowing that that president will nominate their replacement?
Absolutely. The justices pay a great deal of attention to who's president, and they only leave when they feel like a politically congenial president will appoint their replacement. And that's why you saw David Souter and John Paul Stevens, two liberal Republicans, leaving during Barack Obama's presidency, giving us Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan, because they had become very alienated from the modern Republican Party. Ginsburg and Breyer will not leave voluntarily under President Trump. Kennedy is a special case because he is a Republican appointed by President Reagan, but someone who on important issues like gay rights, like abortion, like affirmative action, has departed from the Republican orthodoxy. So his feelings about President Trump are somewhat more of a mystery.
Each of the nine justices is important, but can you make an argument that perhaps Anthony Kennedy is the most crucial of them all?
Oh, you can make that argument, and in my opinion, you'd win that argument. You know, there are four very committed conservatives on the court: Chief Justice Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch. Four pretty darn liberal Democratic appointees: Ruth Ginsburg, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. But Anthony Kennedy has been quirky in his views. He was conservative in Citizens United. He voted with the majority in Bush v. Gore. But he is also the author of all the big gay rights decisions, including Obergefell, which guaranteed same-sex marriage in all 50 states. He has supported abortion rights. He has supported affirmative action. So when you watch advocates appear before the Supreme Court in high-profile arguments, the other eight justices are almost spectators because the lawyers are all arguing to Anthony Kennedy because he holds the outcome of these cases in his hands.
Among your many books, you wrote a bestseller about the contested 2000 presidential election. I wonder, all these years later, what do you think? Was the Bush v. Gore decision correct? Did the High Court get it right?
I think they got it dramatically wrong. I think they should have let the votes be counted and let the chips fall where they may. There was a recount in place, And it may well have been that George W. Bush would have won anyway. But we'll never know that because the court shortened or stopped the recount before it really got started. And I think that case remains a black mark on the history of the Supreme Court.
We're talking with Jeffrey Toobin on WCBS. In addition to being a legal scholar, you're also a journalist. Is the First Amendment, particularly freedom of the press, under attack in 2017?
Well, we certainly have never had a president of the United States who has attacked the press the way Donald Trump has. Most presidents are unhappy with the press, but we've certainly never had a president who has said, as Trump did very recently, that the licenses of NBC or any network's affiliate should be challenged because of coverage he doesn't like. Fortunately, we have a very robust First Amendment in this country, and the courts have been zealous in protecting it. And I can't point to any examples of how the press has been chilled or stopped, but it's a unusually toxic environment, and presidents have a lot of power in this country, and we shall see how this plays out. Donald Trump has only been president for a few months, and his crusade against the press is underway. It hasn't yielded results yet, but that's not to say that it won't.
Could you see any scenario, perhaps, if the court were to tilt more to the right, where the First Amendment might be challenged, even neutered?
You know, I have to say, both liberals and conservatives on the Supreme Court have been very zealous in protecting press rights, and that includes John Roberts. And so I really don't worry too much about the Supreme Court hurting freedom of the press. I do think that you know, not everything gets to the Supreme Court. And in an atmosphere of hostility to the press, there's a lot of damage that can be done to reporters, including physical danger. I mean, I think when you have the president, then candidate, you know, whipping up anger against the press, my colleagues were in danger for their safety. And that's the kind of thing that I am worried about more than actual legal rulings against the press. I'm more worried about the toxic political environment.
Well, we do seem to see more and more incidents of journalists being arrested, or as you pointed out, sometimes even assaulted while doing their jobs. And we seem to see more and more people who are okay with that.
Well, that's the real risk, I think. It's the Supreme Court is important, but it is not the it's not the only arbiter of how the press thrives or doesn't thrive. We are public figures, and you know, I am not concerned about famous journalists. I am concerned about, you know, my colleagues at CNN who are photojournalists, who are less well-known correspondents, who are out in the field and facing real hostility. And I think the president has been whipping up that hostility, and that worries me and it concerns me. And that, I think, is a greater threat to the lives and well-being of my colleagues than the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court's basically pretty fine.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions recently reaffirmed that he would not rule out jailing journalists who refuse to reveal confidential sources. How slippery is that slope?
Well, you know, this is an area where the press has often thought that it has more protections than it ever has. You know, there is no First Amendment right, according to the Supreme Court, to protect your sources. And some states have rulings, but, you know, have shield laws. And this has been really a subject of negotiation between the press and the Justice Department. And the Justice Department historically has backed off from subpoenaing reporters from their for revealing their sources. But it has never been a formal rule. And I think there is no question this is an area where the Trump administration may be more aggressive in seeking out reporters' sources. They haven't done it yet. But it is a risk, and I think the Attorney General is channeling his boss when he's saying that we are not going to recognize privileges that don't exist in the law for journalists.
I wonder how this world might be different if Woodward and Bernstein had been tossed in jail for not outing Deep Throat, Mark Felt.
Well, you know, this one of the positive aspects of the Trump presidency, I think, has been a greater appreciation for the role of the news media. I think you see it in polls, you see it in you see it in person. You know, I think it's part of the polarization that we're living in. But a lot of people, I think, are appreciating the fact that newspapers, broadcast outlets, cable stations, websites have been very aggressive in covering Donald Trump. And I think a lot of people appreciate that. I certainly am glad that it's happening. It's true that a lot of Trump supporters don't like what we do. But, you know, overall, I think this has been a very good 10 months for the press. I'm very proud of the job the press has done. And I think that is something that many Americans agree with, though certainly not all of them.
I wonder if the accusations of fake news have actually made us, the media, perhaps better at what we do. We have to be.
Well, fake news has become kind of an all-purpose insult that has come to cover anything somebody doesn't like that's in the news. They say it's just fake news. When in fact, you know, fake news was originally meant to be described, you know, Facebook posts that were literally made up from scratch, often in the former Soviet Union. Fake news is just an epithet at this point that covers virtually anything people don't like. I do think it is a good positive development that journalists are being extra careful in what they write. I certainly would never object to journalists taking care, but I also think journalists shouldn't be scared away from reporting on controversial subjects because someone might say it's fake news. Fake news is only fake if it's actually fake. Fake news is not fake when some politician doesn't like what you're writing.
Jeffrey, our time is short. You've been a prolific writer, books on everything from the Supreme Court to Patty Hearst and O.J. Simpson and Oliver North and much, much more. What's next for you? What's next on the docket?
I think I'm going to be providing true news about the Trump administration. I am going to be writing about the various investigations, and I am highly energized and looking forward to being a aggressive, fair reporter about this extraordinary moment in American history.
Jeffrey Toobin, we look forward to seeing you November 2nd at the New Jersey Speaker Series in Newark. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.